Philippians 2, verses 25 through 30, these are God's words. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed, because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. In this passage, Paul continues giving examples of what it looks like to live as a Christian and minister as a Christian who is imitating Christ and has the mind in them that is in Christ Jesus. Often you have these kinds of plans, kind of things at the end of a letter. But here in Philippians chapter 2, we're in the middle of the letter, and he's just in the first half of this chapter given the command to have the mind in them that is in Christ Jesus, and then the command to work out their own salvation, having this character of Christ formed in them. And he's given himself as an example. He's given Timothy as an example, talking about his plans concerning Timothy. And now he gives Epaphroditus as an example, talking about his plans and the way things have gone with Epaphroditus. And in this portion, these six verses, he points out through his comments on Epaphroditus that Christian life and ministry is hard work, that Christian life and ministry, or proper Christian life and ministry is hard work. Proper Christian life and ministry involves intense feeling, and proper Christian life and ministry comes at significant risk. So first of all, Christian life and ministry is hard work. When talking about them, he commanded them to work out that salvation that God is working in them. Work out salvation with fear and trembling, because God is working in you. Hard work. Talking about himself, he used words like running and laboring and pouring out as a drink offering and sacrifice. Again, really hard work kind of words. He described Timothy's ministry as an apprenticeship under Paul, who was the father and the father-son apprenticeship, and the master worker. And now he uses significant work words to describe Epaphroditus. He says Epaphroditus is my fellow worker, but not only my fellow worker who overcomes obstacles. When you have to work, you're overcoming obstacles. But also my fellow soldier, which is work that overcomes opposition. Christian life and ministry, proper Christian life and ministry, requires significant effort. It depends upon the grace of Christ, but it puts forth significant effort, both in the face of obstacles and difficulty, Epaphroditus as a fellow worker, and in the face of opposition and danger, Epaphroditus is a fellow soldier. The Bible knows nothing of an effortless Christianity or a painless Christianity. That we see on every side today, false teaching that suggests that if you were going to be a good Christian, then you must not put forth effort, and that if you were a good Christian, you would not experience pain. These ideas are completely ignorant and opposite of the apostle calling Epaphroditus his fellow worker and fellow soldier. Christian life and ministry demands work and experiences pain. That is the way it is. Our Lord did that in his earthly life and ministry, and we're being commanded in this chapter especially to have our minds conformed to Christ so that our lives will be conformed to Christ. The kingdom without a cross was one of the great lies that the devil offered Christ in his temptation, and the devil has an army of preachers in the church offering kingdom without a cross. Our Christ, our Redeemer, our Lord, offers no such thing. He comes and he encourages us, saying, through many tribulations you must enter the kingdom of God. So, proper Christian life and ministry is hard work. In the second place, proper Christian life and ministry involves intense feeling. Although there are misappropriated feelings and feelings about the wrong thing in the wrong way to the wrong intensity, just because there are many and intense feelings involved in something does not mean that they are wrong. And there is as much intense feeling in these six verses, as much of a concentration of intense feeling in these six verses as you might find in a 19th century romance novel. Epaphroditus is distressed and longing, verse 26. He is longing for you all. He was distressed. Why? Because you heard that he was sick and he knew that you would be distressed. Indeed, he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful, because I respond with my feelings to how you're responding with your feelings. So when you rejoice, then my sorrow will be diminished even more. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. So longing and distress over and distress over their distress, and Paul having not just sorrow, but sorrow upon sorrow, and being relieved from the sorrow upon sorrow, and having his level of sorrow diminished, looking forward to the rejoicing of the Philippians, which would diminish his sorrow even more, and now commanding them, for all of these reasons, commanding them to gladness in verse 29. Proper Christian life and ministry is not a feeling less or feelings diminished thing. It employs the feelings with which God has created us about the right things at the right times to the right intensity. And often that correct intensity is great. So Christian life and ministry in the first place involves hard work. Proper Christian life and ministry in the second place involves intense feeling. Third place, and this is connected to the other two, proper Christian life and ministry comes at significant risk. We've already seen Paul talking in terms of sacrifice, about himself, the drink offering being poured out, and their sacrifice in verse 17. He's talked about Timothy giving up his own concerns in order instead to be concerned for the things of Christ Jesus, verse 20 and 21. And now he talks about the sacrifice of his very life that Epaphroditus was willing to make. Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life. He's willing to sacrifice concern for his health in order to keep serving at the side of the apostle on behalf of the Philippians who couldn't be with the apostles to serve. In other words, Epaphroditus had never gone to Christian therapy and been told how much he needs to balance his life so that he can operate in, you know, this kumbaya Buddhist state of balance. No, Christian living is, by the mercies of God, offering your bodies as living sacrifices, willing to endure imbalance in order to serve God as well as possible. Now, there is wisdom in attending upon those forms of recreation, true recreation that God has given us. And I don't mean video games and Marvel films bowling and partying. I mean sleeping at night and getting exercise and secret worship and family worship and keeping an entire Lord's Day in a way that understands that your soul is more important than your body. And in addition to using those other means of physical rest that God has given us for every day, and especially the 6 days, that on the seventh day we might have an entire day of that spiritual rest that we can only grab in snatches in the secret worship and the family worship on the other 6 days, that is consecrated as holy unto God. Those things are good, but it is not wrong. In fact, it is commended by the apostle here that he was not regarding his life and was serving in a way that came close to death. But notice, it's not our duty to sacrifice others. We err when we take teaching like this and we use it to beat others over the head for not being vigorous enough in their service. Paul noticed what Epaphroditus was rightly willing to do. And he said, "You stop, I'm sending you back to Philippi." Okay, so we see when it's harming others. Because Epaphroditus' self-sacrifice here was not sinless. And yet, it is commended that he was willing to sacrifice himself, risking his life. The apostle even implies that this is what the Philippians would have done if they could have, and implies a commendation for that at the end when he says, "To supply what was lacking in your service towards me." Christ has done everything for us. You cannot lose what he has worked for. And so we should be willing to lose much else. Sacrifice our finances. Sacrifice our time. Sacrifice our effort. Yes, there is this desire to be as good of a servant as possible, so you don't neglect your health per se. But this supposed ideal of achieving balance and me time and whatever else. No, Lord time. And if the Lord time isn't your highest definition of me time, then you are using the idea of me time incorrectly. So, as he wraps up this chapter in making application of what he has been instructing us in and having the mind of Christ in us, being willing to sacrifice ourselves as Christ sacrificed himself and being holy and passionately devoted to serving the Lord. He has given him, as he commands concerning them, he's given himself as an example, he's given Timothy as an example. And here, he gives Epaphroditus as an example of how proper Christian life and ministry is hard work, involves intense feeling, and comes at significant risk, is willing to sacrifice much in order to know and to serve Christ. And we'll continue to see some of those themes, especially that last one, through the rest of the book. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would make us willing to sacrifice, that you would stir up our hearts so that we would live intensely towards you, not only with our minds and our actions, but also with our affections. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to put forth effort and not give in to the laziness that is inherent to our remaining sin and our remaining fleshliness, and especially not to use clever ideas to excuse such laziness. Lord, help us, we pray. And we know that the greatest part of this help is to be given the mind of Christ. And so we pray that your Spirit would keep working into us that which pleases you, both the willing and the working, so that by his working in us, we would be able to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, every time we come before your word, we realize that you are more glorious than we have ever been able to understand. And we realize that we have fallen further short than we have ever been able to understand. And so we pray that you would set your glory before us in Christ, and that you would glorify yourself in him by glorifying him in us, by working in us by your Spirit, which we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. .405 in the red. I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode, the church our blessed Redeemer saved with his own precious blood. For I love thy church, O God, who was before thee stand, dear as the apple of thine eye, graven on thy hand. For her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend, to her my cares and toils begin, till toils and cares shall end. Beyond my highest joy, I prize her heavenly ways, her sweet communion solemn vows, her hymns of love and praise. Jesus, thou friend divine, our Savior and our King, thy hand from every snare unfold, great deliverance bring. Sure as thy truth shall last, to Zion shall begin the brightest glories earth can yield, and greater bliss of heaven. Amen. Thank you.